We are encouraged by the Lord today to take a look at flowers and trees and grasses and some other things, and about appearances. And big lesson in appearances. A couple weeks ago, I had the delightful opportunity to talk to the third, fourth, and fifth graders at St. Benedict, and came in that day to answer their question, what is a deacon? And that time talking and sharing, and it was delightful. Their questions were incredible. Then about a week later, one of the teachers hands me this stack of thank you letters, and they are delightful. Some of them are worth framing, and I'm going through them and reading them. On that day, I wore a pair of khakis and my favorite blue corduroy jacket. I've had this jacket for a long time. It's real comfortable. And so in one of the letters, it said, Dear Deacon Doug, I love your tuxedo. I didn't know it looked that good. It was awesome, you know, pretty good, tuxedo. So today there are some wonderful gems of truth, some wonderful pieces of information brought that share to us. Isaiah has one of an appearance of a mother, and then the Lord in his message continues to speak to us. For the past several weeks, we've been on a journey, traveling through the Sermon on the Mount, through chapter 5. And today, we are now rolling into the last part of chapter 6, which is the same series of God talking to us from his Sermon on the Mount. If you have missed any of the homilies over the last several weeks, I encourage you to go to the website. On the website, the homilies are there. And the way to find it is to go to littleflowerperrytoledo.org. And when the site comes up, there's a little box. You won't find homily looking around. So what you got to do is you got to type in the box, Father Day. And when you click, guess what? His homilies will come up. Trust me, it worked. I checked before I give these instructions, so it does work. And go back and listen to the Sermon on the Mount. It's been kind of like a series on the Sermon on the Mount. We talked about salt. You've heard about light. You've heard about praying for our families and being with them and loving our families and our neighbors. You've heard about loving our enemies. You've heard a number of things. I encourage you to go back. Today on the Sermon on the Mount, there's two words that come from it. And if we're not careful, these two words can literally rob us of our spirituality. And those two words are this. The first one is fear. If you've ever been there, I know you have, where you've been so afraid and so fearful, maybe about tomorrow and the next day, it just kind of blocks everything else out. And that fear can almost consume you to the point that you're almost no good because you're so consumed with fear. Don't let that happen. The other word, in the New American Standard, you will see the word anxiety. We heard worry today. In that text, it'll say anxiety. And this is the definition of anxiety, a feeling of worry, of nervousness, or unease, typically about an immense event or something with an uncertain outcome. That definition again is this, a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an immense event or something with uncertain outcome. One of the best examples that comes across my mind is those of us that have kids and they start moseying up around 14, 15, and they come to you and say, I've been asked to go out on a date, and you don't know the other person, you don't know the other family, you have no idea what your kid's getting into, and out they go on a date, and most of us, what do? We stay up, sit in the front room, and we wait, and we're anxious for them till they come home. And what does the kid do when he comes to the door? They roll their eyes because you're standing there. But that anxiety, you know, it can get the best of us if we're not careful. But the Lord has some good things for us today. Let's start with Isaiah first. This is the last verse that we've heard today in the 49th chapter of Isaiah. It says, even though she forgets, I will never forget you. Even though she forgets, I, that being of God, will never forget you. Isaiah presented beautiful images of a mother and child. what brother went into it about related to God and us. And he said, you know, if she does forget you, guess what? I will never forget you. This was written 800 years before the time of Christ by Isaiah, and Israel was in a point where we're needing some encouragement. It was needing some hope. And Isaiah writes to the people of Israel and say, listen, folks, God will never forget you. And if you are in the midst of a very busy life and you're looking for some encouragement or you're looking for some hope and you need it, or if down the road it happened to you, grab this verse out of Isaiah as your own and say to yourself, God will never forget me. He won't. That's his promise to us believers, that he won't forget us. And that's important to us as believers to know that in the midst of wherever we are, God will not forget us. Excuse me while I go to page 2. Let's be thankful for the constant love of God that is available to us as believers. Something about being thankful I came across. I don't know who wrote this, where this came from, but it's a quote that I like, and I'd like to read it to you about being thankful and not being anxious and worrying, and it's this. It is not happy people who are thankful. It is thankful people who are happy. It is not happy people who are thankful. It is thankful people who are happy. It's important that we build the spirit of thanksgiving. We're about to roll into Lent here in 2017. Last year there was a theme, let it be the best Lent ever. And the same thing for this year, let it be the best Lent ever. Don't be so concerned and anxious about what you're going to give up or if I forget one day what happened to me. But allow the Lenten season to be special to you, to allow you that time to seek. Look within, do some examination, look at yourself, and allow God to work in your life. I promise you, if you do that, Easter is so much more delightful and better, and the Matthews are incredible. Let's go back to Matthew. In verse 25, he said, do not worry, do not be anxious. In the New American Standard, it says, do not be anxious. Did you remember the definition I said? Don't forget that, okay? He then uses the illustration of the birds and the flowers and the grass of the field. Are we to be lazy like them and not care? No, that's not what he's saying. I think what he's saying is every now and then, make sure you take some time to look at the flowers. We were at Crane Creek last week and kind of rolled through on a Saturday to go out there and visit. We saw 6 eagles. It was incredible. We were almost crying in the car. They were just right there in the trees, and we thought how beautiful God is and the eagles that were there. And in my backyard, my hyacinths are just coming up through the dirt, and it was snowing yesterday, and I felt sorry for them, but they'll be okay. But I can't wait till the flower pops up when it comes and be a reminder to us to look at it. He talked about the grass of the fields. He's talking about that wheat thrown in the oven where we can make bread. Take a moment and look at nature around you and how God provides for them. And the way God provides for them, he provides for us also. So much of what is shared today is related to our attitude. We have heard about those different things from the sermons over the past week with light and salt and different things, to name a few. But today I want to ask this question in relation to the Sermon on the Mount, and it is this. When was the last time you did an attitude check? When was the last time you did an examination of conscience? I encourage you to do it soon. Take a look and ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I thankful? Am I doing what God wants me to do? For we are well aware, all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, is that our attitude can make us or break us. Some of the things that can break us are constantly being critical, being unthankful, being unloving. But he's called us today to be just the opposite, to have a compassionate heart, to be loving, and even more, to have and develop a thankful heart. Can we do it? Can we do those things? Yes, sometimes it's difficult, I agree. But with the help of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, it can be done, and with his presence. I have in closing, I have a quote that I have had for many, many, many years, and I want to share it with you, and it's from Charles Swindoll. Somebody shared with me last month. They have it hanging at their work. And he has written a piece on attitude that is excellent, and it's been in my offices, it's been around me, and every now and then I pull it out to help me, to remind me about my attitude, that I need to be thankful, spend time in his presence, and be there. And I'd like to read it to you. Attitude. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failure, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitude. The beauty of being in Mass today is, in a few moments, if we're having trouble and we're in need of hope and encouragement, if we're in need of some peace, if we're in need of his love, he offers all that to us. We'll be coming to the altar shortly to partake of his presence. And when we allow his presence to become part of us and become within us, and we allow him to work with us, guess what? It can affect our attitude. We can have the Spirit. And when we come to love, I hope you come today hungry for his presence, so that when you leave, you know that you're in a little better shape than when you came through the door. Why? Because you have spent time in his presence.